Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
We have the best winner of tickets. So Paul gets the phone call, gets the winner, that the guy calls back or texts back in. Can you guys please not use my name on the radio for being a winner? Because I don't want my side piece to think she's going to this show.
Are you serious?
I can't make this up.
If wifey hears and then dude says, hey, I just won tickets today on the Rick and John show on 92.9, and she happened, we have a lot of female listeners.
Boy.
I'm just saying, even not given the name, this still could be dicey right here.
I didn't think about that.
All he has to do is say, I bought us a pair of Hall & Oates tickets.
That's what you
gotta do. Except when you pick up the ticket,
it says complimentary.
It says comp on the corner.
All right, so let's talk some college football here.
Talking sports and ruining lives every day. Rick and John.
Once you get started, it's hard to stop.
It's 12 noon ATL.
Real talk alert.
Rick Kamla and John Michaels on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back in the Kia studios. Rick Kamla and Stan Norfleet. In a moment, we're going to bring on Dave Archer, former NFL quarterback, and obviously, really, to me, the signature part of the Falcons radio network. I think Dave Archer is just fantastic as an analyst. I said, you know, we were comparing the Monday Night Football crew to the Falcons radio network, and I said that Gruden and Archer is a push. That's a huge compliment for me. I'm a big Gruden guy, but I'm a bigger Dave Archer guy. And Dave Archer works for the ACC network as well, one of the top college football analysts doing games. And Stan Norfleet works for the ACC network as well. Arch, do we have you on the WadeFord.com hotline?
Rick, Stan, good to be with you guys. Very complimentary there, Rick. That's kind of over the top. I appreciate that. you know where I stand. Just try to be solid for you.
I got to be honest. I actually didn't know you were on the phone listening to that. I thought you might have been in between, you know, a car and, you know, getting on with Jason and getting on the air. I'm blushing here, Arch. I didn't realize. But no, I seriously, you know, I was kind of doing, you know, West Durham and Sean McDonough, and obviously, give me a break. That's Durham all day. And you and Gruden. I'm not a Sean McDonough guy. And then you got you and Gruden, and I'm like, damn, I love them both. All right, push. And then I gave John Michaels clearly the nod over Lisa Salter. So Falcons Radio Network for the win, baby.
Well, we'll appreciate that. We appreciate that very much. We hope everybody's excited about tuning in at 4:25 on Sunday, and hopefully we can get a W.
Well, given that this Arch guy has been all over me during the college football season, I've been waiting for a moment to have this conversation. So how would I evaluate Arch on his Falcons coverage? Let's play this out a little bit. Go ahead, Rick. I'll think
right,
about
so
some who, words
who,
to describe
who is
this.
A better game analyst, Dave Archer or John Gruden?
I'm going with Arch. I got to go with Arch. Gruden gets the theatrics. I just need football analysis, bro. I don't need you to be – what was that? They had Arch, what game was that where they were doing, like, milkshake? They had smoothies because he was on the whole Y2 banana, and they started making – it was too much, man.
Come on, Stan. I've got Mike Allstott. He's a big back. I like the big back. I like to shove the big back at you.
Yeah, spider two, wide banana. Yeah, Arch just gives me good stuff. Like, I just need quality intel.
I love it. Arch, I promise we're going to talk Falcons here in a minute. But did you – so Gruden, the Monday night game, Falcons are there. Gruden's out there on the field going to the Ring of Honor and all that kind of stuff. Were you, like, puking in your coffee cup, or were you kind of like, that's a cool moment?
I'm actually a Gruden guy too, Rick. I'm with you. I like the way he – kind of dives into it, very demonstrative, you know, as much as, you know, nobody's ever going to be John Madden, but he tries to kind of emulate some of that stuff that Madden used to bring to the table. And so I like the emotion that he brings in. And certainly that's a moment. I mean, try to put yourself in that position as a former player, broadcast, doesn't matter what you are. You're going into the Ring of Honor. Your name's going to be on the side of a stadium that you were, one of the greatest that have ever, you know, been on the field for that organization. That's a huge moment. So thought it was cool. I thought he did pretty good. I don't know about the play call at the end. They had Sapp lined up at tight end. I'm not sure if he gets it done in the short yardage there. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I get caught up in all that emotional stuff anyway.
I do too, Arch. You had me at, I don't know, I dig the emotion of the game. But you mentioned, you know, Warren Sapp at tight end, and it got me thinking of, like, you know, a big dude in an offensive set. And, Arch, one of my problems with Sunday's game was the fact that Dontari Poe, who has been used in these jumbo packages at the goal line, and to me, pretty effectively, was not used. And, Arch, I will take it a step further, and you might take me deep. Because when Poe is in there, typically they don't go right behind center. I don't think we would have had the butt fumble with Devontae Freeman and Alex Mack had Dontari Poe been in the game. Talk about that.
Well, you may have had a butt fumble 4 yards deeper in the backfield because you'd have run into the back end of Dontari Poe because Alex Mack got destroyed on that play. He was driven into the backfield 2 yards deep in the backfield, and I think it affected Devontae on the fourth and one play or fourth and a half yard play later on. Let me explain why. Devontae was expecting to get some kind of push or at least a stalemate at the line of scrimmage so he could get either vertical or slide to daylight. And because Mack was shoved into the backfield, it caught him by surprise. Obviously, he had not seated the ball. And he's responsible for the ball security. He's got to take care of the ball regardless of what happens in front of him. But the ball comes out. So the next time you're down there on the no touchdown call in the Julio Jones catch on third down, now Devontae at fourth and one, he's kind of expecting maybe some penetration. He got a little bit to his left. And on fourth and one, there is none of this sidestep slide. I've got to take my one line. I got to pick one line. I got to go airborne and shove the ball in the end zone. That means extending the ball, the goal line, whatever you need to do. You can't dance in that situation. So I blame Devontae. Yeah, the line's got to get pushed. Obviously, you want to get pushed. But Devontae's the ball carrier, and there's got to be a sense of urgency on fourth down to shove it in the end zone. So I thought he made a mistake there, but he was affected by what happened to him the play before.
Dave, when I look at the metrics, the numbers, right, even as putrid as the Falcons were, red zone, third down, it's not like New Orleans rushing yards from the running backs. New Orleans wasn't light years ahead of where the Falcons were, and in some of those metrics, the Falcons were better. That game, to me, came down to offensive and defensive line play. I have not seen the tape. I know that you have. Is that a fair assessment that the Falcons' O-line, D-line got outplayed?
Yeah, I think there's no question that the offensive line did not play well or was outplayed, as you suggest, Stan. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, we had a guy named George Johnson get a sack. I don't even know who that is. I had him on my card. I didn't have a number. I didn't even have a number for the guy, you know. So he got a sack in the game. So you got outplayed up front. There's no question about that. We can complain all we want to about the non-calls on the defensive side, and there's some legitimate argument there. But that doesn't alleviate you from the mistakes you made on offense. Jake Matthews gets a holding call in the first series of downs on a Devontae Freeman run. It's like a 30-yard run that's going to shove the ball inside the Saint 35-yard line, and he's behind the play. There's got to be some awareness of where you are on the field, where the runner is, what you're willing to do to make sure that you don't get called for penalties. So I thought we self-destructed on offense, which has kind of been the MO all year long. Now, defensive front-wise, we held our own. They did not run the ball the success they'd been running it with when they came in. Camaro, they wanted to get the ball to. We did a good job in their screen game. They did not hurt us with their three-count screen game. So I thought the defense held the rope as best they could to keep us in the game. Offense is self-destructive.
Dave Archer joining us on the Wade4.com hotline, analyst for the Falcons Radio Network. And Arch, Stan and I were breaking it down yesterday, and I went back to the game that the Falcons beat New Orleans, and of course they were complaining about a bunch of bad calls, and there were. And so I broke it down, Arch. There were five shady calls that benefited the Falcons in that first game. Five, including, of course, that stupid unsportsmanlike penalty when Peyton was out on the field. And then let's fast forward to Sunday. There were seven, Arch, questionable plays and that benefited the Saints and dissed us. And I'm listening, Arch, coming in from Chattanooga. Charity and me were coming back from a great couple days there and listening to you and Wes and John. And I heard you, I think it was the third penalty in, and you played the conspiracy card, and I was like, Arch, you're my guy. Because it just smelled
fishy.
He did. It just smelled fishy. So, Arch, talk to me. Do you feel like it's what goes around comes around? We got a bunch of calls in the previous game. They got a bunch of calls in this game. What's your read on that?
Well, I'd like to think that that's not the case, Rick. I don't have a problem with them calling penalties on Atlanta. There were 7 penalties on Atlanta in the first half, none on the Saints. And the reason it smelled is because of the reason you mentioned 7 days previous, or 16 days previous, they'd been called for an inordinate amount of fouls. Now, I will say, the Saints had been flagged 6 weeks earlier 13 times in a game. Okay? They got flagged 11 times in the Atlanta game. Atlanta, and Mike Conte put this, I believe Mike Conte put this stat out. I didn't know it. Atlanta, that was the most penalties Atlanta had in a game on Sunday since October of 2015. So you see where I'm going on this, with this. That was something that you kind of knew the Saints were a foul-driven lead team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Going into the game, they had 31 defensive holding or defensive pass interference calls in 14 games. 31 going into that game. They didn't get called for one in the game, and they had a flag picked up on one where Julio Jones was tackled in the middle of the field. So we didn't lose the game because the officials didn't call fouls. Even the way the game was called, Atlanta had first and goal from the 2. They had fourth and goal from the 1. And failed to get in on both times. That's where you lost the football game. But the officials helped facilitate that by some of the calls throughout the game. But it was about your execution on offense ultimately was what lost the game for you.
Arch, why would you just fuel the Kamla train? He's got conspiracy theory. He's in here bobbing. He's doing the white man wiggle. Is that what you called it?
Yeah, man.
You're just adding to this conspiracy thing, Arch. Let's fast forward a little bit to this week. And I know I don't want to get too far into it just because there's a few more days to go. Deion Jones was excellent on Sunday against the Saints. Different beast when you're talking about Cam Newton and what they do with the zone read coming out of Carolina. Over the years, and clearly the Falcons obviously played the Panthers twice a year, what has proven to be the best way to limit what Cam Newton does?
Well, and he's the key, Stan. There's no question about it. I think this is a pedestrian offense that Carolina has. You can say, Stewart's had an okay year. It's been about Cam Newton. And can Cam Newton hurt you in the run game? And their ability to kind of put McCaffrey up the bat on first and second down to throw the ball. We'll get to that in a second. Cam Newton's been the key. He's carried the ball 39 times in his last 3 games, which is up about 4 or 5 carries from what he normally does on average for the season. He carried it 9 times against Atlanta. Of course, we know he had the big run that set up the game-winning touchdown. He had 86 yards on the ground. It's gang tackling, Stan. He's a gigantic player. This isn't, trying to tackle Drew Brees or trying to get Russell Wilson on the field who's elusive. This is a guy that has some elusiveness to him, but he has tremendous power, and he'll run through tackles. So you've got to get a lot of hats to the football. I don't think there's one guy you say, okay, I want to put Keanu Neal's shadow on him all day long. Okay, you can do that. You take a guy out of your defensive structure if you do that. Or can you get the team to understand that number one priority is to put number one on the ground? And you've got to get a lot of hats to the football. And the only thing that I've seen over the years called every game Cam's played against Atlanta, you have to get number of hats to the football, and you got to discourage him early in the game. Mm-hmm. You got to hit him early in the game because, frankly, even though he's a big-bodied guy and he's got a lot of pride, he has a tendency to kind of go away a little bit if you smack him around a little bit early in the game. And that may mean that you take a personal foul penalty. I don't know what it is, but you've got to get in his head early in the game, and you got to let him understand this is an all-day sucker. We're going to pound on you all day if you're going to be willing to run the football.
Well, guess what? In the Super Bowl, the Broncos did that, and at the end of the game, in a one-possession game, Cam started a fumble right at his feet and made a business decision and did not pounce on the ball. Denver recovers, and they have a parade. So to your point, if you get him to the point where he makes a business decision, that dude is going to check out and think about the hat he's wearing to the post-game press conference. Hey, this hour of the Midday Show with Rick and John brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline. Arch, I was abundantly frustrated in the Saints game at Julio Jones leaving the field on third down. Marvin Hall comes in, boink, right off his hands, onto Lattimore's butt, and then intercepted by one of the Saints. Why in the H was Julio Jones on the sideline for that play?
Well, it's a really interesting scenario right there, Rick, and I'm sure you are watching the TV feed. I've watched gone back and watched the TV feed, and I've also watched the All-22. And obviously you can't tell what's going on from a body language standpoint or what the substitution scenario is. And this is the one time the fan, if they were paying attention, would have saw what happened. Julio Jones waves his hand. He's going to come out of the game. Raheem Morris, who's the offensive, who is the wide receiver coach, is trying to get him back in the game. And he tells him, no, 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 go back in. Julio starts onto the field he's about 5 or 6 steps on the field. And Atlanta has broken the huddle and they're coming out. So they wave Julio back off the field. Raheem knew that there was a really good chance, based on the coverage that they were going to throw that 3rd and 10 play against, that Julio was going to be open on that deep end route. And that was where he would have been, where Marvin Hall dropped the football. That would have been Julio Jones on that play. So I understand your frustration. I was frustrated with it. He needs to stay on the field as much as he can. Obviously, you want to give the guy a rest. He didn't know what the play call was going to be. But there's got to be a thought in his mind, okay, on 3rd down, I need to be in the game. I could come out maybe on 2nd down, maybe out to start a drive or out on 1st down. But on 3rd down, if for nothing more than to draw the eyes of the defenders, knowing number 11's on the field on 3rd down to free somebody else up, he's got to be on the field.
Arch, I look at this offense, and it's almost like – Jekyll and Hyde playing out right before our eyes, and I'm not even going to get into last year. We know how historic and prolific that was. What is this? Falcons are 0-6 when they score 20 points or less, 9-0 when it's 21 or more. What has happened to this offense in the last month?
Well, it's really been all year long, Stan. You go back, look at the game against Miami. It jumped out 17-0 and then didn't do anything after that. You had a Bill team that you could only put 17 points on the board against. Those are both games you should have won. They were back-to-back. You just didn't have the consistent. It's just been the one thing they've been consistent on offense of is they've been inconsistent. They've been consistently inconsistent on offense. That means penalties, execution, ball security. Everything has been to play really well for stretches. Might even put one game together. But for the season, they have been extremely inconsistent, and that's the one thing you couldn't say about them last year. You knew consistently they were going to show up, and you better be ready because they're going to put 30 points on the board. That hadn't been the case this year, and that's really the only way I could boil it down. You can't point to one player, can't point to a position group. It's an inconsistency that plagued this offense all year, and you would throw the offensive coordinator as well. I'm not trying to give Sark a pass. The players play, the coaches coach. Coaches make calls, but players have to execute, and they have not done it consistently all year long.
Great call. Arch, give me about a 10-second answer on this. I have never seen in my life, 48 years old, watching football since I was a little kid, I have never seen a team have more drop balls go right to an interception in my life. Have you?
No. I asked Matt Ryan that is specifically. Of course, Matt says, hey, what goes around, you know, the worm turns. Hey, he tried to play it off. Hey, I've got to be better. All this kind of stuff. He's had 7 interceptions. 7 of the 12 have volleyballed off his own guy's hands and been picked off.
7. 7. That's amazing. Arch, we love you, man. We really do. Happy New Year to you, my man. Let's get a win, man. Let's make these playoffs, Arch.
Happy New Year, guys. Is Stan wearing some of his Virginia orange today? He normally does that when he has a big broadcast.
All game coming up Thursday, Arch. I'll be locked and loaded, you betcha.
Right on.
Okay, man. Go Cavs.
All right, Dave Archer joining us here. The NFL bounces next. Rekamla, Stan Norfleet in for John Michaels. Where's James Harrison going? How did the Steelers let him go here? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Where are we at on the Twitter poll? At Rick and John 929. Which group is more candid, John B. or REO Speedwagon? One of Rick's 5 favorite bands.
At Rick and John 929, the question is, they're debating your questionable taste of music. Which band is more, and I quote, candy ass? REO Speedwagon? Speedwagon.
please save that for the weekend review. REO Speedwagon.
No way.
We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go.
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, that a moment that will live in infamy. one of the great moments with Mark Owens. I always say, man, in TV, when you make a mistake, you feel like you just died. In radio, when you make a mistake, we turn it into promos and turn it into highlights and best of the year type of things. Rick Hamlin, Stan Norfleet, man, thanks again to Dave Archer for dropping by and spending some time with us. Do you realize that we just set a record for the Dave Archer segment Wednesday at high noon during football season? This has never happened before. You see, Arch loves to take me deep, like Giancarlo Stanton in a home run derby. So I have theories. I'm a deep thinker. I've dropped theories on you.
Yeah.
You've gone with some. You've batted others out of the air.
Staying away from your LeBron theory.
So I come at Arch with theories. Sometimes Arch is hip to it. Most of the times, Arch is not. So that was a Arch take Kamla deep free Arch segment. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I'm surprised he agreed with you on your referee conspiracy theory. What did he say? 7 penalties on the Falcons in the first half.
And how many on New Orleans?
0.
None. Wow. None. So I can go back to my notes. I think the first 3 drives the Falcons had, they were called for 6 penalties. The first 3 drives of the game. I mean, if that's not shady and fishy, I don't know what is. But anyway, let's move on, man. It's our NFL Bounce. And it's brought to you by Cobb County Kia. Go to CobbCountyKia.com for info on the Kia Sorento. And I can virtually promise you're going to then go to Cobb County Kia and buy said Kia Sorento. James Harrison has been cut by the Steelers and signed by, you know who, the Patriots. Because the Patriots love getting a guy, a veteran, long in the tooth, a guy who's been there and done that. They tried it with Martellus Bennett, bringing him back. I told John Michaels, I watched Martellus with the Packers this year. Fat, old, and slow is no way to continue to get paychecks in the NFL.
He's been banged up a little bit. Was it his shoulder, I think, didn't clear exam for somebody?
So, he old.
He's older.
That's
yeah. He's old.
And why are you softening the blow
he's
here?
He's older.
Are you boys with Martellus Bennett?
Well, no. You got to remember he was drafted to Dallas in the second round back in 08, maybe.
It's like 1993 or something like
wow.
that.
Wow. And I was just mad that he didn't fit in Dallas. Now he was money in Chicago.
Yeah, he was.
Went to a Pro Bowl in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Did he go to the Pro Bowl with the Giants?
Might have. Eli.
So he had a point
end.
That he was.
Oh, look! I'm not throwing shade on the body of work. I'm just throwing shade on him right now. Yeah. I mess with Martellus Bennett. In fantasy football at the beginning of the season, completely let me down. He let everybody down. He let his family down. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Or maybe he did. James Harrison is going up to New England. The Steelers and the Patriots are on an AFC Championship game collision course unlike I've ever seen. Give me a team that you think could buzzkill Pitt and New England in the AFC Championship game.
As crazy as it sounds, there's only one that comes to mind. I think Jacksonville, because they can run the football and play defense,
mm-hmm.
can challenge both of those guys. Here's the problem. Jacksonville has to go to cold New England or to cold Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. I haven't seen the Jacks, nor do I have the confidence the Jacks can go in the 40 below weather or 20 below weather and go win a ball game.
So if Jacksonville had Matt Stafford, I'm right there with you. Or quarterback like Matt Ryan, even a Joe Flacco.
A B guy.
A B guy or like a borderline elite guy, I'd be totally buying it. And look, Jacksonville's defense is like the bulliest in the NFL right now. They can run the ball. They got a bevy of backs, good offensive line, the whole thing. But they have Blake Bortles at quarterback. And I know that he has played well, but he had 3 interceptions against San Francisco last Sunday. I believe all 3 of them were what the bleep interceptions. They were just terrible. And so I think he's going to hold them back in the playoffs. But James Harrison going to the Patriots is a colossal mistake by the Steelers. Yeah. They only played him 5 games. He's butthurt in his feelings going to New England. Bringing his playbook with him, bringing trade secrets with him, he's going to totally, when they get to that AFC Championship game, he's going to be best buddies with Patricia and Belichick.
Of course.
And going over what they do in Pittsburgh and all that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, Josh McDaniels is probably going to take him out to lunch to see what Pittsburgh does on defense into greater detail.
Of course. And this happens all the time in NFL, but just not a guy that has the history and the legacy of a James Harrison. You see teams, when I was in the personnel department for the Redskins, man, we would pick up dudes like the week before we would play the team they were coming from. And you sit them in a room, and it's not the coaches. It's normally the director of pro personnel kind of goes through, hey, what's the concepts here? Like, guys know the tape. You just want to know, what are the trigger words? What do you call what situation, like what's the mindset of the OC, DC, those types of things. Now, there's a theory that Mike Conte brought up. What if James Harrison is a mold that's being planted inside of Gillette Stadium, and he's going to call back to Pittsburgh and give Tomlin and the boys all the stuff?
Yeah, I love conspiracy theories. Love them.
Clearly.
Even when they're authored up by Dave Archer. I love conspiracy theories. And I love me some Mike Conti. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but I'm not ruling it out.
I can't imagine, as good as the Steelers organization has been to him, that he's just going to give it up for a few weeks of playing ball.
I think he will.
I don't know James.
I think I don't know him either. What I do know, I think he's as cutthroat a player as you can get. Who has been fined more for decapitations than James Harrison?
Perfect.
Okay, good call. But they're like 1 and 2, right? In NFL history for fines on illegal hits?
Could be right.
And look, James Harrison, I love him. I mean, I would love to have him on my team wearing my uniform because I love guys that want to take your head off. Ken O'Neill's my favorite Falcon. Why?
He likes to decapitate people.
Brings that wood, man.
I'd love it if he'd wrap up sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
When he got to the ground.
James Harrison going to New England, we will track that. Now, let's hear from Carolina head coach Ron Rivera in advance of Sunday's game, 425 at the Benz against our Falcons. Buckle up, Falcons. They coming for a fight.
The league has set it up so that what's going to happen is, you know, you have to play. You know, anything could happen. And I don't know what the scenarios are. I think the most important thing is that we focus in on Atlanta. You know, we can't get caught up on the scenarios could be. We're not going to, you know, worry about those. What we're going to do, what we're going to go out and play. We're playing this game to win, and we'll see what happens from that point.
Emo, do me a favor. Play the very beginning of that one time. Just
the league
beginning.
Has set it up so that
okay.
What's
stop. The league has set it up. The league moved games around for Week 17. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is if New Orleans and Tampa Bay were playing in the 1 o'clock window, and we knew that New Orleans won the game and won the NFC South, we may make more of a cautious decision with playing
because
time.
At that point, they'd be locked into the 5 seed at the wild card spot.
Exactly. But because New Orleans and Tampa Bay are in the 4 o'clock window with Carolina and Atlanta, they have to play it out. So it's interesting. It's almost like the Falcons are getting hurt by that New Orleans and Tampa Bay game being in the 4 o'clock window because we'd be getting less of Carolina if Carolina knew what the heck was going on with the Saints.
And I think for the Falcons, this is a positive in that the Falcons, this forces the Falcons to play, right? Because the Falcons could do the same thing. Let's suppose the New Orleans game was earlier. The Falcons would also know the best we can do is the 6. Carolina's going to lay it down. So the Falcons, in theory, can throttle down too, sit some guys out. And going into the playoffs, you cannot have that mindset.
Interesting. And I can't, and Stan, you know, you're a ball player, you know this, but as an analyst, I can't tell you how many times I have seen basketball, football, whatever. Big guy is out. You know, whether it's LeBron missing a game, whether it's a big quarterback out. And the other team lets their guard down. They just do. It's like human instinct. It's like, okay, they're without their star. You just let your guard down just a little teeny bit. You don't have as much of an edge as you had before. And so for that reason, it's good that the Falcons are you know, the Panthers have the Falcons' full attention. They're not going in there with gears and turning switches on and off. They're showing up trying to play the right game and win.
And I think for Atlanta, and I think Dan Quinn would say this as well, like, look, man, the sense of urgency has not been higher than it is this week. Last year, the Falcons didn't have a moment like this. They were kind of in the catbird seat the whole way.
Right.
This is the first time you find a sense of urgency. And I believe I'm a big proponent. You find out who you are in non-ideal circumstances. We'll find out the moxie, the character of this team.
That's a great call. Yeah, that New Orleans game was weird. And you did have a little bit of wiggle room. You could have lost that game and come back in 1 week 17. But I think our guys went there with full effort. It just didn't work out. Jason, I want to bring you in. Jason Marks is in for Paul Bible here. It's our NFL Balance brought to you by Cobb County Kia. I want to lighten it up a little bit here. This little nugget on a rundown says Vince McMahon interested in Panthers. Tell me more.
Well, Jonathan Coachman, who worked at ESPN, formerly worked at WWE, has come out speculating that Vince McMahon has the money that he could buy the Carolina Panthers. There's also the talk that he's maybe bringing back the old XFL, maybe with a new little twist.
XFL. Remind me what the XFL was.
The XFL was the league that Vince McMahon put together with 8 teams that only lasted till 2001. It was supposed to be the counter to the No Fun League, where there was no fair catches and instead of a coin toss, the players scramble for the ball to see who gets possession or if you want to receive or defer. And it didn't last long. The Los Angeles Extreme were the only champion of that league and were quarterbacked by Tommy Maddox, who would go on to finish his career with the Steelers.
Good info, bro. So what? I'm not a wrestling guy. M.O. And Stan, if you guys are, tell me what you think is the viability of Vince McMahon maybe owning a team in the NFL. Are we wasting our time here?
Well, no. He just sold $100 million worth of shares of the WWE last week. So he's liquidating assets to get his money right. He's also, we know, has been on the phone with NFL owners. Jerry Jones is one of them that he's been talking to about. Now, here's the part that's unclear to me. It seems like conflict of interest. Are you trying to own NFL squad or start the new league? I don't know which one he's trying to do.
Interesting. M.O.
You know, if he's smart, he'll go out and he'll sign Johnny Manziel. He'll sign Colin Kaepernick. He'll sign some of these names, some of these players that can't really get a job just for the PR push on it. Because the first time around is a bit of a disaster. The first game had great ratings, and then it kind of fell apart because they didn't have the no fair catches. They did the very beginning. They just dropped the ball, and they both had to run towards it and pick it up. It was almost like watching dodgeball. If they learn from their mistakes, he has an opportunity to make an off-season league that could be popular. But he needs to sell it as get your football fix here. He doesn't need to compete with the NFL. He needs to create his own brand.
And I think now, back then when the XFL started, there wasn't as much blowback to the NFL as there is been right now. And Vince McMahon believes that he may be able to capitalize that. If you tweak it, kind of smooth out the edges, it could be a viable product. Will it overtake the NFL? Probably not, but it could be a viable product.
And for anybody who just listened to Jason Marks and said, what? Who's boycotting the NFL? Nobody's boycotting the NFL. I can tell you right now, I'm not one of them. I love the NFL. Always will. There are people boycotting the NFL right now. I talked to a cop at 124 Package in my neighborhood, 6 weeks ago. And, he's all about the flag and all about, the military protecting this country. And he's a cop. So he says he won't buy Papa John's. He won't watch the NFL. He's out. So I'm just saying that it is real. There are people, good people, smart people, clever people, boycotting the NFL right now. M.O., I just happen to not be one of them.
We will go from the Bible, Book of Mark, coming up next. Clemson fans, you can finally legally be drunk in the streets, but this has to happen. And plus, speaking of, what are the best college towns in America? Business Insider has ranked them. A couple of familiar names on there. We'll talk about that next. From the Bible, Book of Mark.
Yeah.
There it is. Next, Sports Radio 929.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
I'm not a fan of the trough.
The old school bathroom.
I'm not a fan of the trough. Just the long urinal that stretches the whole wall, and dudes are bumping into each other. And
so is it stage fright that gets you away from the trough?
Dude, yes. I do suffer from stage fright in a trough scenario.
Yeah.
Something about shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
No divider in between.
It's not cool at all.
So how's family?
And then you get splatter in the hole. It's not cool.
You're looking over. Hey, dude, you need some water.
Well, Rick and John bring the knowledge.
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed. And yes, the research material.
Open up. Air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Stan Norfleet has doubled over in laughter. And the first time I went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I was like, tell me they don't have a trough. Tell me they don't have a trough. No trough. No trough. No trough. And, oh, by golly, hallelujah, they don't have a trough. They've got stalls that are separated by a divider, so I don't have some 6'4" dude, looking around. Don't look around in the bathroom, okay? Look down. All you should be seeing are your man parts and wheeze. That's all you should be seeing.
Little nerves about measuring up there, Rick?
No. I am fine with what God gave me. I am well-equipped. Here's the thing, though.
Stage fright?
Hey, you went there. It has nothing to do with size, because the ladies know size matters. What it has to do with me urinating in front of 30 dudes. Okay, and I will not apologize about that.
Splatter. You look right here.
Sometimes, yeah.
You're a better man than me.
You got to go clean your shoe.
There's only one space left in between two big old guys. Nope. I'll wait.
Look,
big, thick linebackers right there. No, yeah, y'all are good. I'll wait my turn.
I'm so comfortable with what I got going on. Just I'm going in, I'm handling biz, and I'm out. I'm not even thinking about it.
Okay.
Shooting. Now, here's what bothers me. All these stalls are empty. Dude, why are you next to me?
Yeah.
You could be three stalls down.
Because he likes what he sees.
Hey. Oh, here you go.
You never know.
Have you seen Stranger Things 2? Hey, what you binge watching?
What is Stranger Things?
Pop culture over your head.
Okay.
From the Bible, Bookmark All, brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4 Floods. That's 770-4-FLOODS and Dunn Waterproofing.
Hey, Emo, you've completely given up on me, haven't you?
When it comes to pop culture, yes. Done. If it's, everybody can be like, dude, have you seen Walking Dead? What's that? Walking Dead, what is that? Those Georgia Tech fans? I don't get it. Are they gangster?
I've seen promos for it.
Not that Georgia Tech fans. That was low blow.
That was well played, is what it was.
No, they're not listening. They're getting ready for their bowl game. Wrapping up the end of the year.
I mean, I just got to laugh about that one for a minute. You could say the same thing to Florida fans, couldn't you?
Travel time. Takes them a while to get there. Business Insider ranked the best college towns in America for the 2017 season. All right, coming in at number 15, Penn State, ranked 15th, best college town. Athens, surprisingly high. Ranked at 14th, but Business Insider didn't rank them 5th in bars, best bars, college bars.
Blind Pig, excellent.
Oh, God almighty, that place was sticky when the doors opened the first time. That's a sticky floor place 24-7. Columbia, Mizzou, home of Mizzou, they're at number 9 for the best college towns in America. College Station, home of Texas A&M at 7th.
Good town, yeah.
Flagstaff, Arizona, home of Northern Arizona University. Anyone?
I mean, Flagstaff's dope. I love Arizona. Flagstaff, you get a little snow up there. It's
hate
in the mountains.
In there. It's always bumpy, all the wind, canyons, and all that.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. Very unpredictable stuff. But why? I don't understand them being in the top 10. Continue.
Arizona women, those little. I mean, you could say Sun Devils.
Now you had me at Arizona women. No further explanation
I don't know
is necessary.
The Northern Arizona University.
They're still hot up there.
University of Illinois Champaign, number 2.
Give me a break.
And number 1. According to Business Insider, the best college town of 2017, Boulder, Colorado.
This list is full of crap.
Well, hold on a second.
You know why.
Boulder, Colorado?
You know why.
Is for very obvious reasons.
You know why.
Yeah. I mean.
It's legal.
Yeah.
I get you. But come on, man.
Good views.
When you think college campuses, environment.
High altitude.
Like, how is Florida State not on that list?
It's true.
I've never been to Tallahassee, so you tell me.
Now, remember, this isn't the tailgating. These are the best college towns in America.
Do they give you the criteria for how they determined it?
I'm sure they did, but I was too lazy to write it down. The best college towns.
Who is number two? Who is number two again?
University of Illinois Champaign.
Okay, is that right next to Chicago? Because that would be the only reason that I would think that.
I'm sure it's like medium income, safety, the amount of restaurants, the amount of bars. This isn't the best college bars or college tailgating. The best college town.
Best college experience, like campus environment,
sure.
Not just in top of your head. M.O., give me yours too. Is it Athens? Like, best college environment you've been to.
That's not fair because I'm a homer, so you know I'm going to say Athens because I love it. However, I will say we had a great time at Clemson. Clemson's fun.
I haven't experienced very many, to be honest with you.
We got to get you on the college tour.
I would love to.
You got to go down to the Grove.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things you got to go see.
Yeah, Stark Vegas, the whole thing.
Mike Conte, I've been to Penn State, played at Penn State, know that. I love what the game day in Knoxville.
Well, let me ask a question. Can you go to this town on a non-game day and still have a good time? I think that might be where this.
Penn State, I don't think non-game day you're having a great time.
Interesting.
Columbus, Ohio, I would think you would.
What about T-Town? Why is T-Town not on that list? Tuscaloosa.
Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe it's the game day experience where it's game day. Yeah, we are in a football state of mind. Business Insider is a cool college town state of mind.
Interesting. All right, what else?
You could say Vandy because of Nashville. Because it's a beautiful
Hill
campus.
Would be another one that steps out.
But it's Vandy.
Speaking of list, AJC, they took time out of crapping all over SunTrust Park to rank the top 50 sports moments in Atlanta from 2017. All right, so here's their top 10, according to AJC, the local newspaper. Their top moments this year. Number 10, Matt Ryan named the MVP at number 10.
Seems higher.
Number 9, National Anthem Protest. I thought that would be lower. Sherholtz inducted into Cooperstown, number 8. Georgia winning the SEC Championship at number 7. Falcons winning the NFC Championship at number 6. The Dome implosion at number 5.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. SunTrust Park opening at number 4. Mercedes-Benz opening at number 3. Copy receiving a lifetime ban from MLB. That's probably fitting at number 2. And the number 1 sports moment of 2017 for the city of Atlanta, the collapse. Falcons
that's
losing.
Pretty obvious.
Boom. Falcons losing the Boom. Super Bowl.
AJC, obvious. You're dead to me. Give me a break.
Yeah, I don't
Stop
know if
it.
I put. I don't know if I dead to me.
Stop the, y'all know that's accurate.
That's ridiculous.
That's
this list
accurate.
Sucks. This list is
this
god
list is
awful.
Better than, no,
dude,
no, sorry,
the dome implosion should not be a top 10 sports moment in Georgia.
It's they have history.
A top, that is a top 5 moment.
No, I get it. That's, I'm that making one. The point. It shouldn't yeah. even be in the top 10. Matt Ryan winning MVP is 10th.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Stop it.
UGA winning the SEC championship, what they haven't done since 2005, is what, fifth?
Seventh.
Seventh. This list is trash.
Stop it. This list is
trash.
Excellent. AJC, you nailed it.
Trash.
If Clemson University
it'd
football
be,
team.
It'd be great to start a fire in your fireplace. You're a little kindling underneath the logs.
You would do that tomorrow? Make your own quick
oh
top
my
five?
God, is this
be
list.
Be thinking about it. Tomorrow for from the Bible Book of Mark, because I'm incredibly lazy and I'm on short-timer syndrome, you'll each come at welcome with their own top five sports moments.
Oh, I like it. I like it. So Matt Ryan winning MVP is not historic.
Yeah, yawn.
It's way more historic than an implosion of an old building.
Yawn.
It's 10th historic to them.
You're killing me, Sam.
Yawn.
He's got a big grin on his face. All right, Emma, what else you got?
If Clemson makes the national championship game, fans can toast in the streets. The Anderson Independent Mail reports that Clemson city council members voted to temporarily suspend open container laws and shut down a portion of downtown College Avenue if the Tigers make it to the national championship. The open container waivers will apply to drinks bought at establishments, not drinks that are brought in from outside.
Okay,
so basically,
but,
if you're a Clemson fan, you know what it's like saying downtown Athens or downtown College Town, we're blocking it off, we're having a street party, you can walk around with a beer in your hand, but Clemson's making a big deal out of this.
Or you can bring a Yeti with what you want inside.
Or a flask with what you want inside.
So that's awesome. Party on, Wayne.
This was going to happen anyway, so I don't know why they felt the need to make it official.
Yeah. But
Clemson wins back-to-back national championships, and you think people aren't going to flood the streets with red cups and all other vessels for carrying alcoholic beverage?
I love a red solo cup, but Clemson ain't winning this thing.
I like the way you think. Who's it going to be? Who's going to be?
UGA.
Am I about to deal with this for another
parade
week?
Parade in Athens. I might be wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of these college bowl games. I got UGA winning it all.
All right.
And it's not a homer pick, y'all. I've analyzed this, and it's an objective take. I think Georgia's winning it.
That's a gangster observation.
I know. What was it? Fair to partly dope?
It's approaching dopeness.
All right. Go ahead and open up your Google. Go to incognito tab.
I'm sorry. I got distracted.
All right.
Damn it, Cam.
We're doing some of the best of 2017.
What's incognito?
That's where they don't track you.
Yeah. Incognito?
All
right, let's go.
I'm paying
attention. Let's go. You guys, I said that.
Can we say that? No, we can't. Yeah. Okay, here we go. you may have heard of a couple of these already. So, again, this is the best of 2017.
Like it.
Genesis Mia Lopez.
Whoa.
A classic.
Who?
Just type in Miss, MissGenii.
Genesis Mia Lopez, there and it says fitness afterwards.
Yeah.
I bet.
Image search that one. One more for you.
And whoa.
Open up another tab.
She's in the Hall of Fame of backside.
There it is.
That's strong, yeah.
All right. One more for you real quick.
Yeah. What do you got?
I think we've had this one before, but again, this is the best of 2017. Monifa Jansen. Yes. Monifa.
I typed in Moni and it popped up.
Of course it did.
Monifa Jansen. Let's give you some live commentary. Oh, my God. There's your live commentary. Nice. Monifa Jansen, we are not wasting your time, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to stress ladies, too. Stan, what do ladies like to do when they look at other ladies?
Judge.
Yeah. It's a judge. It's a comparison. But
yeah,
the ladies.
The nitpick, the judge, all that.
But the ladies are more complimentary of each other than, like, dudes would be. So it's nothing for a lady to be like, you know what, she's cute, she got a great shape, wow, look at that type of thing.
A female can appreciate another female's hard work and dedication. If I see a guy in great shape, I go, jerk.
question. You guys, thumbs up, thumbs down real quick.
Thumbs down.
No. Augmentation to the ladies. Care, don't care.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
If it makes you feel good about yourself, go for it.
I'm out.
I'm into natural curves.
Me too.
Don't care.
Be who you are.
And if you got an A cup, well, maybe we can have a different conversation. All right, 92.9 The Game Almighty. Friday brings you the Midday Show with Rick and John from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We broadcast live from 10 to 2. Stop by Twin Peaks in Buckhead and party with us. Craveable man food, delicious burgers and wings. Their billionaire bacon burger is the best hamburger in all of town. Twin Peaks girls serving you the coldest beer in Atlanta. Hang out with Rick and John Friday at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, although I will not be there. Coming up next, we have a Falcons. discussion to have with you. Stan Norfleet will be there. Let's go soul searching. Which Falcons emotion fills your cup? That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
But for me, the best part was this.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
Now, Knox, are you a little upset that we took the unsolicited shot at you when I said, hey, coming up next, he's not research material, but it's Knox Bardeen will join us for the Bickerfest. Is that unsolicited?
I expect it from you guys. Okay. Plus, someone somewhere thinks I'm research material.
Your wife does.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock, and this is Rick and John, rolling through another show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Emo, since we're clowning around so much, did Knox Bardeen just say thumbware? Or somewhere. Maybe you can go.
Somewhere.
It sounded like thumbware. I think he might have thumbed through that word. Anyway, Knox is on vacation right now. So is John Michaels. Shout out to both of them. We love them. John's going to be back tomorrow. It'll be John and Stan Norfleet. And then it'll be John and Stan Norfleet again. No, pardon me. Me and. God, am I confused. Me and John tomorrow.
Me and John.
John and Stan Norfleet Friday from Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Yeah.
I'm still tripping on that stupid AJC list of the top 10 sports moments in Atlanta this year. You have the dome implosion over Matt Ryan winning MVP and Georgia winning the SEC championship. They got to start passing around plastic cups over there at the AJC.
Well, maybe the MARTA bus parking in front of the shot may have moved it up a little bit.
Got a little traction.
I know Atlanta United fans were not happy because they had Atlanta United making the playoffs at 12 and Atlanta United setting an MLS attendance record at 17th.
Now, that's ridiculous.
Those should be
17.
Higher.
Yeah.
For a dome implosion. Give me a break. Love the AJC typically. Y'all do great work over there. You completely swung and missed with your top sports moments of 2017. Let's go soul searching. Wifey watches all those Oprah shows where they go soul searching.
Dr. Phil.
And they take deep dives with authors and scientists and all this stuff. They go soul searching. Soul searching 2017. We're almost soul searching 2018. But anyway, y'all, which of these Falcons emotions fills your cup? We're going to break it down. Belief, hope, trust, or faith. We're going slightly biblical, slightly religious today. Now, we will not, debate different, denominations and whether you're Christian or not. We're not doing that, okay, because you're all going to turn the channel and go somewhere else. We're a sports and lifestyle station here. But I want to take the temperature of our fans right now. Where are you at with these four things? Belief, hope, trust, and faith. Okay? Which of those four things fills your cup the most? And let me get it started. Belief. I have a little bit of belief left in this team, Stan. It's not all gone. It's mostly gone. I got a little bit of belief left.
Put a percentile on it.
20%.
Okay.
Okay? Hope. 100%. Because you can't put a percentage on hope. You either have it or you don't, to me. So you can say, I got 50% hope. Okay, I don't really get that. For me, I have 100% hope.
Makes sense.
It doesn't matter. Like, Cleveland Browns fans have hope that they're going to beat the Steelers this week.
No, they don't.
You're delusional.
They don't.
But they got hope.
No, they don't.
Actually, you're right.
They have
zero hope. It's a bad analogy.
Yeah.
But our Falcons are the defending NFC champions, and we win, and we're in. So I still got hope. Okay. So belief. Not much. Hope, I got a lot. Trust, none.
Ooh.
I have no trust in this team.
Zero trust.
None. It's gone. I'm huge on trust. Might be my most important thing in sports, Stan. I make a lot of decisions, fantasy sports, baseball, football, basketball. I got to trust you. I don't trust these Falcons.
But you just said they are the reigning NFC South champs.
Yep, that was last year.
The reigning NFC champs.
That was last year.
So it counts.
For hope.
But doesn't count for trust.
Correct. Because I've seen 15 untrustworthy games.
Okay.
Has this been a trustworthy team this year?
No. But the preseason told us that.
Well, okay. I don't know about all that because the preseason they sucked before their Super Bowl run.
Coming off of the bowl. To me, and I've talked to some guys about this recently. Listen, the Super Bowl hangover thing is real. I was talking with Harper about it. And he was like, Stan, look, people can poo-poo it all they want to. It's kind of like my word for 2017. It's like, though.
What, poo-poo?
Yeah, poo-poo. Like, they people just disregard, dismiss.
Yeah, yeah.
So you poo-poo it. This thing is real. And I saw some things early on. I still had hope because I picked this team to win the division. Not going to happen, obviously. But I don't trust this team. And I've been killed on the airwaves for saying so.
Because I still love these guys. They're my squad, okay? I've said this time and time again. They're the only team in professional or college sports right now that I fully, unbridled, give my fandom to. The only team.
Okay.
The Atlanta Falcons. They're my guys. I'm riding or dying with these guys. But I don't trust them.
But you don't trust them?
Very simply.
All right.
You can ride or die with somebody that you don't trust.
Happens in relationships every day.
Yes. I'm a fan of this team. These are my boys. I'm family with the Falcons. But I don't trust them. Like, you cannot trust the little brother who's got a drug problem. You cannot trust the uncle who comes over drunk every time. But you can still love them and ride or die with them.
Sure.
But you don't trust them. You ain't loaning them $100 because you know you'll never see it again.
Where's my trust meter with this team? It's not at zero. 50%.
Okay.
I kind of trust them.
You kind of trust them. Yeah. And I'm getting the sense you're trying to puff that up and be a little generous.
I'm kind of trust them because they have moments that you go, that's what I'm talking about right there.
No doubt.
And if you could string together those moments, you'd have magic.
Stan, that's where my hope comes from.
Okay.
That you do see Julio drop 253 on Tampa. Mm. That you do see Devontae rip through the Bucks on Monday Night Football.
Yep.
That's where the hope comes from. I know
six sacks from Claymore.
Yes, I know we have a talented football team. Nothing has changed with that. It's just, as Arch said, and we've been saying it too, but in a different way, this team is consistently inconsistent.
Perfectly stated.
Okay, and so that's just what's up with this team. But when you're consistently inconsistent, that means I can't trust you. Okay, so belief, hope, trust, and faith. Which of those emotions fills your cup? So we talked about belief, hope, and trust. Now let's get to faith. Faith, to me, means, and I'm not putting like a biblical reference on this. I'm kind of putting it in a sports frame. Faith means I have faith in you to get the job done. It's akin to trust. So I have more faith than trust, but I don't have very much. So for me, let's go soul searching. Which of these Falcons' emotions fills your cup? For me, it's definitely hope. Okay, these other three, belief, trust, and faith, I'm not really there with the 2017 Atlanta Falcons. I want to be, but they've made it so that I can't be. But with hope, 100%. So that fills my cup the most. How about you, Stan?
I'm gonna go hope. I can't call it belief because I know what I've seen. I can't call it trust because the consistency is just not there. Technically, I could go faith, but I'm from a sports context.
What does faith mean to you, Stan?
Faith means, like, I know it's ugly, but I know they're going to do it in said circumstance. Like, you haven't seen it, almost like the biblical faith. You haven't seen it, but you feel like it's going to come to fruition. I don't know that with this team on Sunday. So when I look at the four options, I'm 100% hope. I'm all in on hope. That's what I got.
So Stan and I, we found over the last couple of days, rarely agree, and we love that. And it is not orchestrated, but we agree on this. Which Falcons emotion fills your cup the most? We both think that it is hope. You also can pick belief, trust, or faith. Let's go to my main man, Brandon in Lindale, as we take calls here on 404-741-0929. And Brandon, before we bring you in, I got to tell you, I thought of you over the weekend as I was in Chattanooga with Charity, and we went to Rock City, and we went to this amazing light display. And Brandon, guess what I had in my right hand filled with a Camla cocktail?
What was that?
It was the Yeti that you gave me at Flowery Branch. I think it was two summers ago. You were out there. And so Brandon hooked us all up with Yetis, like the big one. And so I filled that up with Camla cocktail, and I was right going to Rock City and seeing all those Christmas lights. So, Brandon, I thought of you on Saturday in Chattanooga. Does that creep you out, or are you happy about that?
No, I'm just glad the Yeti wasn't in the cup holder while you were driving, as long as you were doing that.
No. Charity was driving.
Nice. But I did think about you when I saw that video of the girl singing Christmas carols that Paul Bible posted. I'd like to raise a glass to Paul Bible and say yay to that video.
We'll pass that along to him, Brandon. Hopefully you had a great Merry Christmas with your family. It was a blast seeing you Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, dude.
Always a blast seeing you guys, and hope everybody had a great Christmas. And I'm sitting here with these Falcons, and I'm like Stan, I'm 100% on hope, but I'm about 10% on belief. And I say that for this reason. I think the defense has done well this year. I think they've done enough. But when I look at this Falcons team, I see it looks like options are missing. It looked like every play last year we ran, we had three or four options on that play. Like last week, we get down to the goal line. They know that Devontae Freeman's going to get the ball and we're going to run straight ahead. We don't have a tight end running out to the pylon so that to take two guys with him, then Matt Ryan can come around and run a boot, try to get into the end zone. It just seems like we're missing that extra dimension of the offense this year that makes us explosive. And until we have that, it's hard to believe because we're just not putting up big points other than when we beat the Seahawks 34-31. So my hope is high, but my belief is low. And I realize why you don't agree with Stan a lot. Stan crazier than Zeno. He's just a lot nicer.
Oh, my goodness. That's the best backhanded compliment I've gotten since I've been on these airwaves.
You're a good guy. You're just a little out there. We love you, though.
Appreciate it, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. God bless, man. Happy New Year. We love Brandon. So, and that is one very cool thing about Stan is cool as a fan. And I just came up with that. No, I'm not even trying to but no, he's cool as a fan. Like, we're disagreeing in here, and we just laugh it off, man. So Stan is not one of these dug-in, know-it-all, I-rock-you-suck broadcasters, and I appreciate that about you.
And, you know, I just like to talk ball, man. And at the end of the day, you know, I try and bring some type of evidence, some type of give me some numbers, like give me some eyeball, play in the game, something. At the end of the day, I tell people all the time, I can't tell you what to think. I just share what I think.
Exactly.
And we agree to disagree sometimes, and sometimes we agree. And I know that when the listeners, when they think about it, later, or when they watch the game on Sunday, they'll go, Stan said that that was going to happen, and it mostly happened.
That's my guy, Stan Norfleet. He is hanging in here this week, filling in for John Michaels, and then he's going to fill in for me on Friday at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. So definitely go to Twin Peaks and Buckhead and start an argument with Stan Norfleet.
That'd
see where that gets you.
Bring a Yeti. I might like it.
I love it. Let's go to Ahmad, or Hamad, I should say, in Marietta. Hamad, get in here, man. Happy holidays. We're asking you this question. Which emotion fills your cup the most on these Falcons heading into the Carolina game? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I really love the show, and hope you guys had a great Christmas. I think I do want to go with hope, but I'm a diehard Falcons fan. I bleed red, white, and black. I'm gonna have to go with believe. I think that even with all the penalties that were called in that game, I think that even if a few went our way, we still have a really good chance in this game just to kind of stick around and maybe see if we could give the Saints a problem. But going to this game, I'm just trying to believe that we can come out with a W and make it in the playoffs. I hope you all have a great day, and thank you for taking my call.
Hamad, appreciate the compliment, man.
Nice dude.
Definitely.
He's going belief. I don't know other than.
And here's the thing with this. There are no wrong answers.
It's not.
Because it's a personal thing. It's the emotions that you have. We just want to take your temperature to see how much belief is out there, how much trust is still out there, how much faith is still out there. It's easy to have hope. Okay? It's easy to have hope.
But what is he hanging his
sports
belief
fans
on?
Always have hope. Like even you know, fans of terrible teams have hope. It's easy to have hope. It's hard to have these other things.
I wish I had asked him, like, what is he hanging that belief on? Like, what staple of this Falcons unit in the three phases of the game is he convinced that is going to lead us to victory?
I mean, my answer to that would be, and I don't have much belief in this team. I have some.
Yeah, you said 20%.
20%. And I won't apologize about that. I've watched 15 games of ragtag football, so that's where my belief is at after that. We've seen the defense win multiple games this year, you know, with stops and, you know, I think about the drop ball in the end zone by Chicago. I think of the Golden Tate play at the goal line. Bottom line is
Dallas and Green Bay not being fully
right,
staffed.
But in terms of the Chicago and Detroit, those were somewhat lucky end of game moments for us. But nevertheless, defense was on the field and we walked off a winner.
New Orleans.
So to me, that's where belief comes from. For me is our defense. It doesn't come from Ryan and all these tipped interceptions and Devontae with the fumbling. It doesn't come from that, unfortunately. It comes from the other side of the ball.
If I were pressed on which area of this team I have belief in, it would be in that front seven. That somehow, some way, somebody's going to make a play. It's not the back half. I don't think the pass coverage has been great this year. But when you got a front seven that's in sync and flying around making plays, it can mask a lot of deficiencies.
Let's get one more call here. We're going to continue this after the break. Let's go to Ferdinand on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Ferdinand, which Falcons emotion fills your cup the most? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
Hey, first of all, man, I like to say that I'm a Saints fan, and what the Falcons need is confidence. They lack confidence. You there?
Yeah, no, Ferdinand, continue. I like where you're going with this.
Yeah, they lack confidence, man, and I think...
All right, Ferdinand, thank you. It was short and sweet. He had the radio on in the background. It's a no-no, but Ferdinand, I'm not mad at you because he is hitting on something, Stan, I want you, a former ball player, to talk to. I'm sensing the same thing, but I can't quantify it like a former ball player can, this absence of confidence that was there last year for the Falcons.
Well, some of that comes just by personnel. Matt Ryan's got a different voice in his headset. There's a different guy on both sides of the ball. And I think this doesn't get talked about enough. There are two new coordinators at the same time coming off of a Super Bowl meltdown. That's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation for anybody. On this offensively, where would you draw the confidence from? Fourth in the league in drop passes. One of the worst teams in the league in third down. Turnovers in the red zone. Defense isn't taking the ball away. Dan Quinn every week is talking about missed tackles. Vic Beasley's and his pass rush productivity in general down. We're running out of things to gravitate to. And so how confidence comes out of consistent performance and demonstrated performance at a certain area. What area can we cling to and say they've done that well all year?
Stan, it happens week 17 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against the Panthers, I
hope. 100%, babe.
Yeah, man. So we're going to continue this after this. But we want you to join 92.9 The Game on New Year's Day at Arena Tavern in Duluth. Very special college football playoff live broadcast party. Pre-game with Rick and John from 10 to 2. Dukes and Bell will be there from 2 to 7. You'll have a chance to win an autographed Georgia Gear signed and framed Herschel Walker jersey, signed helmets, and more. We even have a few Oklahoma items so we don't leave anybody out. Ben, Tony, et cetera, I see you. You're next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Here's a moment you may have missed from Rick and John in 2017.
With every victory song. What's great about this week is Noxie was in there filming us, so we'll soon to have that video up on Facebook.
Yeah, a lot of cursing.
What it looks like to put one of these victory songs together. But sometimes you just turn the mic on and hit record, and you get this gold.
Are you recording? All right. Falcons overdue. Okay. Reed Chain, 33 Chain. Mark and John, we call this the no sleep game. Or sleep on a plane. I missed my cue. Talking too much and I completely missed the first one.
Thanks for listening to Rick and John. And if you missed anything, go subscribe on iTunes. Search 92.9 The Game.
All right, we welcome you back, y'all. We are winding down to New Year's Eve, winding down to 2018. But more importantly, winding down to Falcons and Panthers, 425 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I want to tell you that this hour of the Midday Show with Rick and John is brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. So how about them apples? Talking Falcons with y'all, man. And we're going soul searching. Which Falcons emotion fills your cup? Both me and Stan say it's hope. You could also pick belief, trust, or faith. And to revisit, if you're just joining us, I have a little bit of belief left. A little bit. About 20%. Hope? I'm full. 100%. It's not hard to have hope for this team as talented as they are. Trust? None. No trust at all. I've never seen a team with more tip ball interceptions in my life. Dave Archer essentially validated that, saying that it's 7. Said he talked to Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has never been on a team or seen a team that had this many tip ball interceptions. So I have no trust for this team. I love them, but I don't trust them. And I have very little faith because faith to me is very kind of connected and related to trust. So I have 100% hope, 20% belief, and very little trust or faith left in this team. Stan Norfleet, you want to reprise your rundown of belief, hope, trust, and faith, and then we're going to hit the streets, Ben, Tony, Preston, all these cats.
Belief? I like where you're at. 25, maybe 33%. Hope, 100. Trust, hovering around zero. Faith, based on demonstrated performance, little to none.
Okay. So this is literally the most in line and parallel that Stan and I have been in our 2 days on the show together. By the way, John and me are going to rock the midday show tomorrow, and then it'll be John and Stan Friday from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Let's go to the streets, man. Ben wants to talk to us. We're the home of the Falcons, of course. Ben, which of these emotions fills your cup the most? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
Hey, guys. First off, I appreciate you having me. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
But, that's it. My right now is actually I'm going against the grain here. I'm 50% trust and I'm 50% faith. Look, 50% of my trust is in the defense. I have full trust in this defense this year. They've been spectacular. Their numbers show it. The scores show it. They've been spectacular, and I got full trust in them. So that leads me to the faith. And just like you guys were linking it to the religion side of it, you know it's there. You haven't seen it, but you know it's there. This offense hasn't changed with the exception of the addition of Sark. The same guys with the same talent, it's there, and you just have to have the faith that it's going to go through. Look, I'm looking for a big win and against Carolina, and then it's a fresh start. You know, the regular season's in the background, and we're looking forward. So that's where my cup's at. I appreciate you guys taking my call.
Love it, man. We appreciate you, too. Happy New Year. I like what he said there. He's got 50% trust, but it's all with the defensive side of the football. I trust the defense way more, Stan, than I trust the offense at this point.
We have to. The offense has been based on expectation, the offense has been abysmal this year. Let's call it. They'll have a moment here and there. Been struggling with teams they have no business struggling with. Too many drop passes, turnovers. The run production in terms of attempts per game down. It's pass pro. Matt Ryan got hit 12 times the other day. 12. Mm. By some dude named George Johnson. Like, get out of here, man. It's frustrating. I want to be respectful, but it's just frustrating. This offense has given me nothing. And Matt Ryan's MVP trophy from last year is doing nothing for me this year.
Yeah, trust me, Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, McKay, all those guys, they're frustrated too. They know this team should be performing better. Let's go to Tony in Woodstock. Tony, Rick Hamlin, Stan Norfleet, John's going to be back tomorrow. So, Tony, we ask you, which of these emotions fills your cup the most? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
100% zero.
Oh, 100% zero?
MVP trophy's been melted down into nothing. Julio Jones can't catch a pass. The defense is non-existent. Where's the sacks? Where's Tack McKinley? Where's Vic Beasley? Where are they at? Tell me. You're the experts.
I have been very critical of Vic and Tack both. Tack has been a better version of rookie self than was Vic. But I knew Tack, it took him a while with the shoulder. He wasn't healthy. He had to, get in his groove. And he's had moments that he looked really good. But it hasn't been first round, I need you to go be a starter for me every down production. And when you get in the crucial games in championship football, how did the Patriots ultimately turn around what was happening to them? Got pass rush, made a play. That's how this works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a blindside strip sack with a recovery would be nice. Because we've gotten strip sacks, and it seems like their guard or their tackle always lands on the damn football. Tony was like, you're the experts. Tell us what's up. What I'm feeling with Beasley is that he's more of a 5, 6, 7, 8 sack guy than a 15 sack guy. That's what I'm feeling with Vic Beasley.
Beasley should be hovering around, and it's hard to do. And I'm saying this, and it's easy to say, and I totally get that. And I want to respect the process that goes into playing that much football at that level. Beasley's got to be hovering around 8 to 10 sacks every year.
Agreed.
He has to.
Agreed, but maybe he's not that guy.
Chuck Smith and I had a really good conversation on Sunday about Vic is a traditional tweener, kind of linebacker, kind of DN. He's a straight line stiff. He's not a flexible, bend the corner, run the hoop, Von Miller type of guy. There's a place for him. You would really love it if Vic was your number two pass rusher and Tack could be a guy that chips in as the three. You really want a true dominant edge guy, a Khalil Mack, a DeMarcus, D-Ware's a Hall of Famer. You don't have to have a Hall of Famer. Yeah, correct. Bosa and Melvin Ingram is another guy.
Both
you really want a guy that can do that. And that's not what Vic is. So the expectations may be a little unrealistic.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to Preston right now. Preston, you're on with Rick Hamlin and Stan Norfley. Which of these Falcons' emotions fills your cup? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
Man, it's 100% hope for me. And it's, I don't know how much, you know, man, it's 100% hope for me. And it's, I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much belief at all, you know, is there for me. I just got back from New Orleans yesterday. My whole family went down there, and it was rough watching that. Yeah, bad calls, but just like all year, we can't get out of our own way. All the penalties, all the drop passes. I saw a stat the other day. Matt Ryan has, I believe, 12 interceptions on the year, and less than half of them are really his fault. They're tip passes. And that's ridiculous. I can't understand what's going on with this football team. And it gets to the point where I told my buddy the other day, we have to believe what we're seeing. We have to believe that we aren't a good football team right now.
Well, we're good. We're just not great. And that's the problem. Preston, really appreciate the call. He's with Stan and I, full of hope, not really full at all of belief, trust, or faith. Let's try to bang these out, man. Let's go to Mac. Mac, you got about 30 seconds here. Rick Hamlin, Stan Norfleet. Which of these Falcons' emotions fills your cup?
None of them. Because they're all full of S. That's what it is. They ain't playing no football, man. Ain't playing no football, man. Matt Ryan had to take it to the next level. You don't need to have no belief and hope to play football. It's been going on for hundreds of years playing football. Just block and tackle and protect the football. That's all you got to do, man. How you go from being the NFC champ in the Super Bowl and you playing like you come out of high school team, man. Mm-mm. This is just idiotic. I don't believe nothing. Mm. Nothing in my life I ever believe anything. Mm. It's either I know or I don't. Belief don't work nowhere. Later, man.
That was Mac. I'm going to let Stan react to that in just a second. Stan, hold that thought. I want to get Clark here real quick. Clark, which of these emotions fills your cup the most? Belief, hope, trust, or faith?
Hey, man.
Yo, hit us.
So I appreciate you taking my call. I want to ask you guys, and 100% hope, because I'll tell you why. On Sunday, there was a play. It was in the second half. I'm not sure what quarter it was. But we were on the one-inch line. The one-inch line. Why not just QB sneak it? And they run the damn ball. Oh, my gosh. Just QB sneak it in. It's that simple.
With a 6'6 quarterback, it makes sense.
Thank you for the call. All right, so you have Mac and
– 6'5.
I can't remember that guy's name. But good call right there. You know what I love about these calls? I love the passion and the emotion. They're into it. Whether you're elated or frustrated, it all of that is in the grab bag that is sports. So those two calls rock. But I know I saw you when Mac was talking, and Mac was hot and frustrated and ist and all that, and I saw you reacting a little bit to Mac.
Well, like you, I can appreciate the passion, and you can sense that people care. And they know what we know. There's enough over there in Flowery Branch on that 53-man roster to be playing better football. And when you look at why they aren't playing that, I always start at the top. And I go, okay, DQ, you're a defensive man. Kyle Shanahan's out. You gave the keys to a dude that just got his driver's license. That's a lot of responsibility. And then I also at the same time swing and go, okay, Matt, you're a wily vested veteran at this point. I don't know that I'm saying, what did he say? Get effing set. I need more of that from Matt.
Yeah.
That's the Matt Ryan that can lead this team where they need to go. He needs to be whether it's calling dudes out in the media, and again, there's a way to go about that and still be respectful, but there's a way to motivate and galvanize guys. And so I'm starting with Matt, and then I'm going just leadership. Where's the leadership on this club? In the same vein that I get excited like the callers, Cam, they win and they're in. They're still knocking on the doorstep to do the goal when they set out this season. Let's just get in the playoffs.
It's a great point. Bottom line is you win this game and you are in. Let's wrap it up with Kenny in Stone Mountain. Kenny, you're out in my hood, man. Love Stone Mountain. And Kenny, we bring you in here, Rick Hamlin, Stan Norfley. Which of these emotions fills your cup the most?
Hey, man, I love you guys. Here it is. My cup is loaded with nothing but hope.
A lot of hope on the calls, Rick.
Yeah. Now those other guys, I understand their passion. But here's the thing. ask me how I think the Falcons are playing. They are playing with hope instead of faith and belief and all this stuff. They're playing with hope. They're playing like, I hope I can make a play on offense, and I hope I can make a stop on defense. And that's the thing, man. They're not playing like they're capable of playing. They've been shook. And it starts at the top. The coaches seem like they shook too.
Interesting. Kenny, great call. And whether that's true or not, or just a theory from a fan, it is something to really sink your teeth into, man. I like what he was saying right there, that it does kind of feel like they're playing with hope a little bit. Like, here goes. I hope this works. You know what I mean? I am sensing a little bit of that from this team. That's a dope call right there.
It makes sense. Or I hope that my brother does what he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it. Whereas last year, you get in that type of rhythm because you know.
You know. That, and the trust was there last year. And we're not talking about teammate to teammate. We're talking about fan to team. Yeah. We trusted that team last year. I don't trust this year's team, but I love them, and they got to go get a win against Carolina on Sunday. You're going to hear it here on The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.